Alrighty, guys, this is the second issue of Prophet and Sliders. So yeah, let's talk about this issue. Let me take you through my commentary of the September issue of Prophet and Sliders. And you've got it, you've hopefully gone through it, you've hopefully implemented some of it, or got started in some way. I must say I've been encouraged by some of the conversations I've had with some of our members of Prophet Insiders who I've spoken to recently, who shared some of the things they're introducing in their businesses based on what I covered in this month's letter. And I'm going to say this up front, guys, that this month is different, especially it's different from last month, because that's the only thing we have to compare with, right? In that, this is not a, this is, this as you would have noticed or experienced, it's not a small bite-sized kind of thing, or it's not a collection of small bite-sized ideas that you can pick and choose and implement. This one is more of a strategy. I think what I decided to share this month was a strategy rather than a profit idea, profit tactic. It's really a strategy that anybody who implements this, who takes the time it takes to actually put all of these elements in place, will their business will change. This is something I never shared anywhere else. I've never shared this even with clients that are paying us six figures. I've never shared what I shared in this letter, because it's what we do in our business. You see, it's actually what we do. And I literally just shared with you what I do. Some of our members here, who are also my partners in the business partner program, know that's, you know, I've shown them I'm showing them how to implement this. We're actually putting all these pieces, I'm putting them in front of them, all the pieces, putting them together right in front of them. But I've given you the step-by-step, the guide to actually look at your business holistically and see the actual customer journey and see the journey of how people come to you, how their relationship grows with you. I know it's a big one. I know it was not a mistake, but I felt that I would be doing you great service by sharing this with you, even though I know it's going to take, in most cases, more than just 1 month to implement. Because the whole point of these letters, after all, it's not just, this is not a fast food kind of thing where you grab and consume and throw away, you know, the packaging. This, all of these letters are for keeps. I'm writing these letters with a 20-year view in mind. I'm writing these letters thinking about my own kids, that one day they may find a whole stack of them. And hopefully they decide, hey, can we test these ideas that are shared here and implement them, and hopefully get, if they implement them, I want them to get the same results or similar, you know, to what I'm intending for us and what I'm getting and what I've been getting across my businesses. So this strategy may take a bit longer to put it all together, but look at the time of the year, because I think that's another thing I wanted to talk about to you this month. We are now in September, and soon we're going to be in October, and we're going to be left with just 3 months before the end of the year, October, November, December. Depending on what you count as months, business-wise, it's less than that, particularly if you sell to corporates or B2B, right? But in, if you just count number of days, we're going to have 3 months. What if you could take the August letter and take the September letter and take the upcoming October letter, which is packed with easy to implement profit strategies that you could put in place right now in your business and start to see improvements, because that's what I'm going to focus on in October. I want you to take August, September, and October and make it a project for the remainder of the year. Yeah, there'll still be a November letter, of course, and a December letter. But what I'm saying is that, what if you could just, for the next 3 months, decide that you're going to take what I taught you in August, what I'm teaching you in September, and what I'll be teaching you in October, and put all your focus in maximizing returns on the stuff that I'm sharing here. Just a quick little thing I want to say before we continue here is that I'm recording this from home, and we've got some construction people that are working around here. I thought they would be far enough from where I'm recording not to have any impact on sound. I'm hoping that that's the case, but I can hear them knocking a bit far from here. I think they're in the garage, and I can hear them knocking with a hammer. And I just want to let you know what's happening. So that's that, working from home. That's what's happening, but I don't expect it to affect the quality of our sound. By quality of our sound, I don't mean this is studio quality by any stretch, but what I mean is that you being able to hear me. That's really it. You being able to hear me and hearing what I'm saying and being able to get value out of this. So let's unpack the letter. How I have an unlimited budget to grow my business. Obviously, you know what I'm talking about because you've read the letter, right? You've read the letter. You know what I'm talking about, and I'm going to remind you. So I'm going to just page through nice and slow. So this part is the same as last month. How to get value for your money from the letter. I've given you a long list of what you can do to do this, to get the value. So I'm not going to go through that because you've got your letter. I would suggest that if you're not sure how to get value out of it, come back and revisit this segment, because I want to just jump right into the letter. I'm not going to read the letter, of course, because you've got the letter. So I'm just going to talk on key points so that I don't bore you by reading what you already have. But I just want to talk about these points. And remember, we still have our Q&A that's coming up where your questions will be answered. And I want to plead with you guys, please send me questions. I did receive some questions, but I'd love to get more so that we could have a powerful Q&A for this month again, so that it continues. Because these recordings will be with you for a long time, and I'm hoping that the more great questions we get, the more you'll be able to continue to benefit from those over time, right? That's why we do the Q&As, because I really want your questions answered. So please don't hesitate to send us those questions. So one of the things I start with here is this quote by Peter Drucker. The purpose of business is to create and keep a customer. This is a quote that hit me a long time ago, more than 10 years ago, such that I ended up designing my businesses around this quote. I literally, you know, when you hear something and you take it, you decide, I'm going to take this literally. And because what I said when I got this quote, the first thing I asked myself, what if indeed the purpose of business was to create and keep a customer? What would that look like? If a business was a factory that manufactures, right? If I may take the word create and really just expand on it a little bit, that actually manufactures a product called customer. What would that look like? So I've actually designed my businesses, even my clients' businesses, when I work with them in their businesses, always with this in mind. How do we make this business a customer manufacturing factory or a customer creating machine? That's one part of it. And then the keep a customer is another division altogether. right? So this quote for me is it became very literal, as you see in the letter, because I walk you through the journey of, you know, of how I create customers. So the purpose of business is to create and keep a customer. I'm already talking about that. Yeah, what if this was a factory that creates customers? And the build, that's a nice build up to what I end up covering, obviously, in the letter. So, but here's the thing about customers is that before somebody becomes your customer, they are not your customer, right? In most cases, you don't even know them. In fact, you yourself, as a customer to somebody else, there are companies that you buy from for the first time. There's a first time for everything. So even your customers, they're that first time when they encounter your message or they meet you or they connect with your brand or your product or your message or your advert or whatever, really, what, or your blog post or your Facebook message or your Instagram message. There's a moment where they don't know you, and then there's a moment where they now discover. And one of the things, of course, that is a very hard to find resource right now is human attention. People are just too bombarded with information and things that are coming at them that are demanding their attention, which means as businesses, we gotta really think long and hard about whose attention we want and how we want to grab them, you know, and I'm using the word grab here in not in a physical sense, you know, in a way where you really grab their attention. I think it's better to just use it as a phrase, you know, how to grab their attention. So you gotta think about that. You gotta think about that because nothing happens if you can't get somebody's attention, because people are going on with their day doing whatever they want to do or whatever they do with their time or their day until something interrupts them, which happens all the time these days, right? There are always things that are competing for a person's attention. So you gotta think about that. You know, you gotta think, it's really, really important. But then what happens after you've got somebody's attention? Because it's a split second, right? They stop what they're doing, split second, you've got their attention. Now you want to create the next best thing, which is awareness. You want to bring some awareness to them of value, you know, of value, so that they can continue to pay attention for another split second, another second, another minute, right? But more than that is usually too much to ask at the beginning, right? So, but you gotta follow your attention with a serious awareness of value positioning. Then what do you want from that? Because you can't expect them to completely drop everything and focus on you the whole 10 minutes, right? Because you may not have that luxury. But what you do want is to create attraction, to draw them to your universe. Maybe even if they're not going to pay attention today, but where, you know, there'll be some kind of connection with you so that you could continue to develop yourself as a, you know, as a, to develop a relationship with them. Let me put it like that, right? So you've got to think about all of these things, because this is really the process of creating, for me, I can speak for myself, right? This has been my process of creating customers, according to Peter Drucker, business, you know, purpose of business being to create and keep a customer. This is how I've been creating customers. It worked years ago. It still works to this day. And I'm still happy. You know, it's just growing from strength to strength. So you create the attraction factor. And then once you've attracted people and now you've got a way of engaging with them, the next thing is to what? Is to ignite that desire. And I always say that you don't create desire, because it's either it's there. What desire for what? Maybe that's the question. desire for their outcomes. So people don't have desire necessarily for what we sell, for what I sell, for what you sell. But, and I'm not saying it's not, they may have, I mean, the desire, but really, if you dig deep into that, the desire really that people have is for the, is what that thing will do for them. So there's always the underlying desire of something better. For in my case, my best clients they fall in two groups. The first group is business owners that are very good at what they do. They just are challenged in that then they feel that they're not making enough money. That's where the category of our private clients is, our six-figure a year clients. It's people who are good at what they do, really, really good. Great, they've got experience, but see how we could do more. We make R1 million a year, can we do 5? Can we do 10? Because we know how good we are, we could do even better than what we're doing. That's one group. Another group is, for us, another group is people who have done very well in business, very well, very successful financially, but the challenge they have is time. So yeah, I'm doing so well. I've got X number of businesses. I'm a lawyer. I'm this, I'm that. I make a lot of money, hundreds of thousands of rand per month. I make millions a month, except I just don't have any time for family. And I don't know what to do. I don't know how, because I'm so committed to creating value and creating wealth for the family. But I feel that I always feel guilty when I don't spend time with them because I'm pursuing business. How do I manage that? That's another category of my kind of client. These are people we help. So when we talk about desire in this context, those two things, one, gee, how do I make more money? Doing what I know I'm good at, what I love, what I'm already great at. How do we scale that? The other one on the other end is I'm already doing well. I've got the money. I'm getting the money and I'm happy with that part, but I'm not happy with the fact that I don't have time for family and whatever. So the desire to find a balance of continuing to make more money while at the same time being available to, you know, to the family. So for me, those are the desires. It's not about me. It's not about my products, not about my service, but those are underlying desires. So when you say ignite, you want to tap into those because you know your market, right? You know your market. So tap into the desire you know somebody would have to be a good customer or a good client of your business. I hope that makes sense, right? So now, once that desire has been ignited, then the last step is that trust, you know, because that's what really pushes, tips the scale, so to speak, between do I go ahead with this company or do I sit where I am? A lot of sales, if I may say this, a lot of sales, people think that they lose their most sales to competitors. Actually, one of the biggest competitors when it comes to selling or sales, is not even a company that sells what you sell, but one of the biggest competitors we all have is the status quo. It's basically the do nothing decision, because people have a choice all the time. Our clients, our customers have a choice all the time. Do I buy from your business or do I just do nothing, or do nothing for now, right? I'll just hang tight for now. And in most cases, if there's no ongoing development of that relationship, that hang tight sometimes can be permanent. They may never come back. So you want to always, and you don't want to leave this halfway. You do want to build that trust, because as I show here, that when you've got desire and when you've got trust, Those two combined together, desire for what? Not desire for your product. Remember what I said. Not desire for your product, not desire for your service, but desire for their outcome. Okay? And then the trust they need to be able to press the pay button, okay, or to do the transaction. So desire plus trust. Obviously, I oversimplified this. I just said desire plus trust is equal to a transaction. I don't know if other people out there, somebody somewhere, some professor said this. I've never seen it, but it's just from my own experience. So this equation is, it's from my own observation. I'm not saying it's not out there. I've never seen it, but it's what I've observed from running businesses for the last 15 years. So those are the five steps that I took you through in this letter. Let's quickly recap. The first one, obviously, was attention, right? Getting their attention, creating awareness, and then attracting them into your orbit, and then igniting their desire for their outcomes, and then building trust. Once you can do that, you win. That's how I win. Right. Now, the topic, obviously, of this, the title of this document, of this letter is building and having, how do I have unlimited, how I have an unlimited budget to grow my businesses. So we went on, obviously, to kind of look a bit more into what, how I do that. And one of the first things, or the first thing obviously I talked about here is having something that people can get started with. In this case, I used the example of my ebook for one of my programs, Corporate Partnerships, titled How I Build My Businesses Using Corporate Partnerships and Sponsorships as my main strategy. Talked about how I advertise online and offline, but not, hey, go come and buy from us, come and become our clients and spend a lot of money with us, but rather started them with something that was an easy yes, so to speak. Hey, I've got this little booklet here. Check it out, right? Oh, I'm doing this Zoom call, it's free. Come check it out. Like, we got them started. Obviously, I talked a bit more about the booklet and the value of having something that is worth a lot in terms of perceived value, and not just perceived and real value, quite frankly. Of course, it helps when these products or these assets are digital. It helps. Because the cost of delivery is zero when it's digital, like my 100 rand ebook, which I valued over three, not the ebook, obviously, I valued the whole package at about 3,000 rand, including the fact that I give these guys a full hour of my time, where I just keep giving value and value and value and value. If you add that, which I do charge 2,000 rand for just that time, if somebody insists on having a meeting with me and they're not a client, I'm like, okay. For 1,000 rand for 30 minutes? Sure, let's talk. It should be 1,000 rand for 15 minutes, quite frankly. But for now, it's still 1,000 rand for 30 minutes. And then, of course, an hour becomes 2,000 rand. And then you combine that with other things that I offer with this 100 rand. And then all of those things for $100. It's a compelling offer that you put in front of people. And I ventured to say, almost any business can do something like this. Obviously, I was talking about you in this case because I want you to be that business that does something like this. And then I showed you how the mathematics works, how the math works. That if I spend 50 rand a day running an ad, and my limit is 10 rand per lead, right? Which is, yeah, cost per lead of 10 rand. It shows that if I've got $50 and I'm willing to pay 10 rand max for one lead, then I'm happy with 5 minutes. Obviously, I'm happy with more, five or more, right? In some cases, I pay way less than 10, right? And I end up getting 10, 11, 12, 13 leads from that 50 bucks when my ads are really, really on fire, right? But my goal is that for that, right? 50 Rand, if I get five, I'm happy. Because if one in five of those leads, they accept my offer, they bring in that 100 bucks. They accept the 100 Rand offer, that is. We get 100 bucks. Get 100 Rand. And if you look at initial return, there's a reason I'm saying initial here. Because remember, this is just the beginning of the relationship. Once these people are in, they may become clients for us. Some of our 150,000 Rand clients, they start there. They buy something for 100 bucks. But that's the initial return on ad spend of 2:1, right? So I get 100% of my, I get my money back plus 100% return, if that makes sense. So what do we do with that 100 bucks? Again, this is rough maths because there are fees attached because we use a payment gateway that charges, I think, 2 or 3 or 5, 6% for every transaction. But I decided to just use rough maths here. I hope you don't mind. So you get that, to simplify the math, I think, more than anything. You take that 100 bucks, you reinvest, you know, excluding the merchant and transaction fees, which are less than 10 bucks, I can tell you that. You basically repeat the process. Now, 50 bucks becomes 100. 100, if we follow this mathematics here, becomes 200. 200 becomes 400. Can you see you kind of doubling, you know? Even if you're not doubling, even if you're getting 80% return, but that's still very good. That's still very good. It means these leads or customers now are paying you to get more customers, which is really, that's what that unlimited budget idea is. So the more we spend, the more leads we get, obviously. The more leads we get, the more customers we get. You know, the more customers we get, the more we can spend on advertising. And the more customers we get, the more clients we get. Because the clients are on the back end where people actually invest more than this 100 bucks, probably more than, you know, a couple of tens of thousands of Rand. You know, those ultimately are people we end up having a long relationship with. You could do this in your business and it doesn't matter what you sell. That's my point, is that it doesn't matter what you sell. You can do this. There is a version of this for your business. You know, we call this customer financed client acquisition. Why? Because you get a customer, they give you money, and you take that money to get to reinvest in leads, and those leads become a customer, and that customer ultimately becomes a client. So that's it. So some people never become clients, but by spending 100 bucks with us, they've served us greatly, honestly. That's the best service they could give us, because that 100 Rand is what's going to bring us somebody who's going to become a client soon, a few weeks, a few months down the line. I hope you guys are getting this. I'm excited by this because it's like the eighth wonder. I don't know how many wonders of the world are there. But this for me is the eighth wonder of the world. And I don't understand why most businesses don't do this, you know? So I already spoke about, you know, typically who we call a client. You know, they spend between 50K and 150K. I've already talked about all of that stuff. So I spoke earlier about delivering these things digitally, because why? It keeps the cost very low. I always recommend, in fact, I recommend this to any of us here. I know that some of my clients, some of our members here at Profit Insiders, are already looking into this, where they are taking what they already have in their businesses and trying to incorporate a way where it can be delivered by reducing the cost of delivery so that it could become their asset for this client, customer financed client acquisition. So you can offer, as I said, it can be 50 bucks for you, it can be 1,000 Rand. In fact, in our case now, we've got two two-step, we've got a two-step process. We've got a 100 box one, and then a little bit down the line, you know, those people can upgrade to R1,000. And if, even if just 10% of the people who take the 100 rand up, take upgrade, guess what? You know what that means? If 10% of people who take the 100 rand off upgrade to 1,000 rand, do you know that we double that return on net spend? It literally doubles. Doubles. Just by 10% deciding to upgrade, which now gives us 4 times return on original ad spend, which helps us to continue to have unlimited budgets. And I wish you guys can do this. I actually want you to do this. That's why I said, rather than being overwhelmed by, ooh, I didn't implement August, here's September, I'm still sitting on the fence, oh, gee, October's coming. Don't let that pressure you. I want you to give yourself time. Yes, I'm still going to send you November and December, like I said, and those will fit into the whole picture. Oh, that's fine. The point is that you're going to have these things so that you could use them at will for the rest of your business life. So what I'm saying is that take this October, November, December, make this a project to actually implement and master these strategies and these tactics. It will be a game changer, I promise you, okay? I feel like I'm selling you, you know, on making money for your business, which I have. I want you to. And then I went on to also show you a number of other scenarios where this type of strategy can work and has worked, right? I talk about B2B companies and various ways that this can be implemented, and which I'm going to touch on some examples. Obviously, some of these examples are my clients, client examples. You know, I told you about my ebook that, you know, somebody literally was supposed to be free. I tell you guys, I wrote the ebook to be completely free until an editor of one of the top magazines in South Africa saw it. You know, until an editor of a top magazine in South Africa saw it, and guess what? They wanted, they reached out, and after some negotiation, which was not a lot of work, they offered to buy some rights for 15K. What I did not mention in the letter was that they also added royalty, because they were going to put this as part of a membership subscription program for their readers, and they were going to pay me royalty on the number of people that subscribe and consume it. You know, like Mindvalley, if you guys are familiar with Mindvalley and other platforms that are like that. Netflix is always an example that people like to use. So I talk about this in the context of corporates, right? So how have I used the same strategy to reach out to corporates that are not gonna maybe buy 100 rand thing and all of that? In such cases, I've actually, because of the size of the deals that I was doing with these corporates, like I would send books, which cost more, obviously, than, you know, digital content. And I would send books. I can actually see my kids. Sorry, as I'm recording this, they're walking out there, and I'm hoping they don't come in here and disrupt this flow, all right? So in case of corporates, you could actually spend money, because if the deal is big enough, you know, if, for instance, you stand a chance of getting a client that can pay you R500,000 or R1,000,000 or 100,000, you know, and what you can do to attract them would cost you 200, 300 rand. And I'm not saying don't be reckless about it. That's why for now I advocate, especially because people who are reading this, I know your businesses. I know that with each of your businesses, it's possible. There'll be a time, of course, when the members of this letter become a big number where I won't know everybody. But for now, because we're just a small little group, I know, you know, what which helps when I formulate this content, because I think about your businesses. I think about, how would this work for so-and-so's business? You might have seen how I did that, by the way, even in this letter, because I named some names because I'm thinking about your businesses. So another thing I talked about is this unlimited demand creation, right? This approach when it comes to corporate, which I've used very successfully to get clients like Nedbank and KPMG, Holland, and all these guys, through lunch and learns, my books, my speaking engagements, special reports. I know that somebody did send me a message and ask me how to write a special report. So I'm hoping I'll talk about, well, I'm not hoping, I'll talk about that during the Q&A, when we do our Q&A, I'll answer that question there. So I'm not gonna go into it here. But what I can say here, because in case you don't want to wait for the Q&A, what I can say here, I want you to think about if you had an opportunity to present to potential customers, you were given an hour to do a presentation, and you were told that make it beneficial to them. Don't just go and pitch. Don't present like a PowerPoint where you're just pitching, talking about how great you are, how great your business is. What educational content would you bring to that presentation that by them hearing that content, first, it would be refreshing to them to hear. Secondly, they would find it very valuable and educational. And thirdly, once they've heard it, it would enhance and increase their interest in getting you to help them. I hope that makes sense. It's valuable, it's educational. It adds value, obviously, to their lives. It's refreshing. It's new. It changes maybe how they've always seen the world. But more importantly, it increases their desire to want you to assist them. So that's how I do these reports. Some of them are much simpler than others. For instance, if you read my ebook on corporate partnerships. Well, I don't think I've ever shared this, but that was a presentation that I did. That was a Zoom call that I did. And then I just took those slides and I put some meat in the slides, and then it became a 27-page ebook that I'm still giving away to this day for free. And then people buy one of the recordings of the masterclasses $100, and then other ebooks that I add as part of that deal, plus the opportunity to talk to me. So create value, So think about if you were doing a masterclass that we were not going to pay for, but it was still going to be highly valuable. That would be the best way I would recommend. I don't always do it like that. I mean, some of the things that I've done to get the likes of KPMG and others, I'll actually share some of these. Please do remind me. I'll share some of these when we do our Q&A. I may bring an example of a special business report I've done, which got me in boardrooms at Holland and it got me a deal at KPMG. It got me into Vodacom and a number of other companies, right? So I'll share that with you. But I talk about it obviously in the letter, the lunch and learns that I've done, and the breakfast and learn that I've done with Nedbank and other companies. So, but again, if you guys have questions on this, you take this opportunity to ask me these questions so that I can unpack them for you, when we do our Q&A. All right. It's really just a last reminder from me to say, send me your questions. And I went on to give you a number of other examples here of companies, of some of our colleagues here, Nature Soap, for instance, how they might be able to do a customer finance client acquisition for their type of business by leading with information and educational content. I talked about Supreme ICT, I talk about Saluseke Energy Solution, I talked, so just to give you the companies in different industries, how they may be able to do. I talked about what I've been working on with one of our private clients, who's a doctor, in this, who also has a business in occupational health space. And, you know, so yeah, so I gave you some ideas, but I need to be guided by your questions, quite honestly, because I can really unpack these things based on, you know, you guys know this, in fact, because some of you are already in our corporate partnership programs. I love questions and I love to really give detailed answers. So please do use this time to send me your questions. You know, one of the things I talk about, which I just mentioned, is this research study, which I did for one of our clients a few years ago, who was in the health and safety space, titled "Why Safety Managers Wish Their CEOs and CFOs Understood About Safety." I told you that story in the letter. So I guess for those who haven't read the letter, I'm hoping that if they watch this before they read the letter, I'm hoping that I'm kind of priming the pump, if you're familiar with that phrase, where I'm kind of giving you things to look forward to in the letter. Because the goal of this commentary is not to read this letter word for word, because I want you to do that privately in the quietness of your own space, so that you could scribble notes on the margins, you could highlight, you know, some of the things that are standing out for you. So I also talked about, you know, how this has been done in the retail world, you know, how this idea is a modification of something that was started way back in the day, you know, where, you know, retailers of today, they still do this. I mean, if you watch TV on Thursday, there will be advertising weekend specials. Hey, come, you know, food retailers like Pick and Bay and all these guys, we've got soap at this price this weekend, we've got this. They know that people will walk in to buy those special things, but they'll be pushing a trolley and they'll end up buying more stuff. So it's about getting them at the door, getting them through the door. That's the whole strategy. Back in the day, when Edgar's used to still advertise, they would have a white linen sale, if I remember correctly, red hanger sale, right? People would come. I'm not saying those were loss leaders, not necessarily. Obviously, there were clearances of, you know, once from one season to the other. But the point is that they knew that those things are what would bring somebody through the door, but the basket will be bigger because the customer's already there. Those are the other things they want to buy. We just do this in a more kind of systematic and simpler way, right? In the internet age, they talk about one-time offers. You've seen how you go to somebody's website, you buy something, and then you think you'll be taken to a download page, but then they say, hey, wait, we've got another offer for you. This one time only. If you buy this now, you'll get it at discount, but you can say no, and you'll never see this price again. You've seen that, I hope. I'm sure you have if you've bought online in recent years. It's been around for the longest time. I remember back in the day when I started internet marketing around 2006, guy called Steven Pierce was one of the godfathers of the new internet marketing craze, right? The one-time offer, I think Steven Pierce actually was one of the guys, if he was not the guy that came up with the OTO. It's old. OTOs are almost 20 years now, you know? So if you haven't seen them, hey, go buy something online. Well, not anything online. Let me know if you haven't seen it. I may send you to sites where you could see, where you could buy, and then you see how they upsell you through a one-time offer. Anyway, guys, I don't want to keep this commentary too long. I already have a lot of long things, you know, in other programs that we do together. And we still have a Q&A, and I want your questions for that. So I'm keeping this commentary, I'm ending it right here. And I want you to go back and read the letter if you've read it. If you haven't read the letter, of course, please go check it out. So these were the main themes, these five things. And I ask you, recommended action. If you do nothing else this month, I'd like you to at least do this. One, what is it going to be for you? Are you going for an unlimited budget or an unlimited demand creation or both? Which are things that I covered in the letter. Which one are you going for? And then assess your current process when it comes to the five steps of customer creation. Do you already have a reliable and predictable system that does all these for you? Do you need to make some improvements in any of these steps? If so, what exactly are you planning to do this month to improve. I'd love to hear what you've done, by the way, this month in these areas. And then lastly, please create your educational product or special business report and release it this month. I would love to hear, you know, if you've already done at least any of these things. Love, love, love to hear. But that was it. That was all I asked of you this month. And I shared this quote, one of my favorites, by General Patton, who was an American general. A good plan, violently executed now, is better than it. He says violent because he's a soldier. You know, people don't like that word. My wife being one of them. Violently, why did he have to say violently? A good plan, violently executed now, is better than a perfect plan next week. Okay? People wait till it's perfect. All I'm saying is that take imperfect action. Do what you can with what you have where you are. Please don't wait for perfection. All right. And then, of course, here is your table of value. What ideas did you get out of this letter? It could be one, could be two, could be more. It doesn't matter. What idea are you taking away? And what action are you going to take around that idea? And lastly, if you did take action over a 12-month period, what would that bring to your business as additional value? You know, I mean, this newsletter, it may seem like, you know, in absolute terms, it is a bit of an investment to be part of this. But if you just implement it, this month letter alone could easily be 100,000 to your business per year. This letter, this one, I'm not even talking about other letters, I'm talking about this one alone, you know. But if you don't implement, and you have no intentions of implementing, I don't know how you're going to get value out of these things, you know. Of course, I love that you are here, and I'm hoping you'll continue, and I'm hoping you'll change and start taking some action around these. But if there's no intention of changing, maybe you should reconsider your subscription. Look at me. I'm telling people to unsubscribe because I want you to get value. It makes me happy when I see you win. When you yourself make a small investment and then you see your money multiplies simply by implementing. And you don't even have to do it alone because I'm here and I'm eager to support you. I'm eager to answer your questions. So I just want you to take full advantage of this opportunity, you know, that I'm providing through this letter. Anyway, guys, that's it from me for this month. It's been real. I'll see you on the other side. Check you out when you do our Q&A. Please send me those questions. I need them. Okay. Anyway, guys, take care now. Have a good one and take care of yourself and have a profitable month and a profitable remainder of the year called 2021. October, November, December. Make it count and make it rain. All right. Okay, then. Let's call it a day. See you soon. Cheers. Bye-bye.